Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara. I am Jess.
I am Jen, still and forever and always Jen.
I want to share with you before we get into the topics and the guests and all that, we are having a fabulous listener party at the Nexus Salon Super Shishi on Wednesday, July 18th.
That is in New York City, and it's an exclusive invitation. If you want to be invited,
go to fatmascara.com/blog and enter your details and answer a quick little question, and we will see if we can squeeze you in.
Because we want to meet you.
We really want to meet you. We really want to hang out. So anyway, Jen, what is on deck for today?
Girl, we're going to talk about my lash perm.
Lash perm? Yeah. What's a lash perm?
You're going to find out.
Okay.
Then a topic you and I have been batting around for weeks now. Is ugly the new pretty? And how do we feel about that?
Okay.
Last up, I am obsessed with this Korean app, and I want to bring it to the United States, and we all need to get together and make it happen. So I'm going to teach you about that app.
Okay. I don't have any Korean apps on my phone. And after that, an interview with Barbara Close, the founder of one of my favorite brands, Naturopathica. Not only is she an esthetician, not only is she a product formulator, she is also a master herbalist. Stay tuned.
Jess, have you ever gotten like any sort of eyelash extensions, perm, anything like that?
I got extensions once and
you
I hated
did.
Them.
You hated them?
Yeah, I hated them. Hated them.
Wait, why'd you hate them?
Because A, I was very conscious of them. Like I could feel them. There's something attached to your lashes, no matter how feather-like they, you know, say they are. There's something attached to your lashes. And then also, you have to treat them like a freaking, like, you know, like fine china. You have to like rub them with like a special oil, like to get the mascara off. It's just so precious. And then if you don't take care of them, I think even if you do, you wake up and there's like half your lashes are on your pillowcase and you just look crazy after like
yeah,
2 weeks.
Somewhat high maintenance is what I've heard.
I think it looks a little fake.
It depends on the lash extensions. Right. I've seen them and they've looked great, but yeah.
Okay.
For the same reason, I've never actually gotten lash extensions and I feel like a bad beauty editor because of it. However, I was enticed to getting a lash lift recently. I put a picture on the Instagram.
A lash lift.
Did you see the picture?
I did.
You haven't obsessed enough, by the way, because everybody else is obsessing about my lovely curly lashes.
I think they look the same.
Oh, fine. Okay, sorry. But here's the thing.
I mean, you have great definition. I would love that kind of like darker lash line.
I don't think you've ever seen me without mascara, so like this is a big difference for me. Here's what happened. First of all, I like these kind of things where you can seem high maintenance, but so that you can be more low maintenance. So that's why I was into this idea that basically what you're doing is putting perming solution on your lashes to curl them. So when you wake up in the morning, they're already curled as if you used an eyelash curler. And during Sugar Lash is the brand that I went with. Mm-hmm. They also tint them. It's like they're proprietary. It's a perm and a tinting all in one.
Okay.
You can go on sugarlashpro.com to find someone who does it. They're Squad. I'll be honest, before they came around, people were doing these. In Japan, they've been doing lash perms for like at least a decade. I just think they did a good job of like branding it and making it so that there's a standard of care across the industry so you know you're getting a good lash perm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, we're sticking perming solution near our eyes.
That's the thing that gives me pause. Also a little bit of, the willies.
So they stick on this little adhesive to close your eyes so they're set and you can't open them. And then there's like a curved part to the little sticky pad and they bend your lashes up and around that. They soak them with the perming solution. Then that comes off. Then they soak them with another one that's like the bond setter to sort of like, you know, neutralize it. Like if you were to get a perm in your hair. And then the last thing is they put on like a conditioning ingredient so it's not as wiry feeling.
Oh,
so it's
gross.
Three layers of product that you're just laying there quiet and nice for. Then they're curled and that's when they put the dye on. So, I mean, it took a little over an hour. I'm not going to lie.
This seems very high maintenance for something that, I'm sorry, I think you could just pop on some mascara.
But think about it this way. I haven't worn mascara in a week. So you don't have to worry about smudging. I wake up and I just feel like I have makeup on. Even so, my mom, I had dinner with her last night. She keeps looking at me and she's like, something's different. You look so pretty. She's like, did you get Botox? When's the last time you got Botox? Because she knows I get Botox. Uh-huh. I was like, a while ago. And Eric, my boyfriend, was like, oh, she got a lash perm. So I was like, don't give away my secrets.
A lash perm.
But like people noticed. You might not have, but other people
do. I really didn't. I also think all those chemicals near your eye cannot be a good thing. And I'm not trying to like nag you. I like just didn't notice.
Yeah.
To me, it looks like you're wearing mascara. And
okay. But for
I don't know if I would do that to look like I'm wearing mascara.
That's a good point. If mascara is working for you, fine. But if you've got, I don't know, $75 to $125 to shell out, I'm a big fan of the lash lift.
Okay. You know, you do you. Jen, have you heard about Flesh?
Yeah, it's the stuff on my body. No, I'm just kidding. It's Linda Wells' new beauty line for Ulta. Yeah.
I have been very much following this launch because there's a lot of ways to talk about it. There's, you know, she's got 40 shades of, you know, fabulous foundation that work with everyone. The font is really groovy. And the fact that Linda Wells is doing a beauty line, I mean, that's like the headline. But the name I kept on getting hung up on.
Yeah.
And I felt weird like saying it. And it just felt, I don't know, there was something about it that was like kind of sticking in my craw. And then I was reading the New York Times article with Linda and I was so happy she addressed it. She said that like when she asked her son about naming it Flesh, he wasn't completely on board. And that the word flesh brings out, you know, you could think of what I thought of immediately, which was like the flesh of like a zombie eating, you know, like an arm. And then like, you know, you see the innards of the arm, like flesh feels like medical and like kind of like gross to me. But then flesh is also kind of like porny and like, I don't know, depending on your taste, kind of sexy.
There's a lot of connotation that comes with that word.
Yeah. It's not like, you know, like beauty, you know, bopper.
Pretty pouts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty pouts makeup.
Yeah.
No, but I think this gets to a bigger question, which you've brought up to me time and time again. We'll see like a particular beauty editorial spread in a beauty, you know, feature, and it won't be quote unquote beautiful, right?
Yeah, it's like ugly. I mean, I think you said this at the start of the show, like ugly is the new pretty, this kind of like reactionary, you know, I'm gonna like, you know, forgive my language, but like fuck shit up, like beauty. And that seems to be like the going aesthetic right now. And call me old fashioned, but like, I don't know how I feel about it.
And I feel it happened after the Met Gala too. Like several girls bleached their brows.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry. I feel better about it because I think it's just making us stop and think about beauty. And I like that. But I'll be honest, I don't think bleached brows look good. They don't look good on anyone, even Cara Delevingne or, you know, Rihanna. So I get that people want to, like, push buttons with this, for example, with the name Flesh, or with, like, doing something beauty-wise that, like, you know, isn't exactly the prettiest thing. It's happening with fashion, too.
Oh, my God. I saw this girl in a pair of shoes for, like, 3 days in a row, and I thought that they were orthopedic, and I was like, oh, like... I love her.
Yeah, she's got like an arch support.
Yeah, I felt badly for her. I was like, good on you. Like, you know, you're wearing it like with like a really cool outfit and you're just like, you know, F yeah, like I've got, you know, arch problems, you know, like what are you going to do about it? And then I saw that the other day, it took me 3 days, they were emblazoned with a designer logo that I just never caught at the side. And I was like, okay, so this is like not only like not like a health shoe.
Yeah.
This is like a fashion statement that probably costs near the $1,000 mark.
Yeah. Some of the fashion going down the runway, it's like, this is a huge oversized sweatshirt with big long arms, or even I know the jeans with the high waist are back. I don't think they always look so flattering on everyone. I'm not going to lie.
You do not want to see me in a pair of those.
It even goes to the point of the whole acne acceptance movement that's come about recently. Mm-hmm. I am all for it. I don't want people to feel bad about the way they look ever, but at what point is it like acne acceptance and I feel positive about myself? And it's also just like, I just want to show you I don't give a shit about society says.
Yeah. I mean, I like acne we know is so connected to depression and like, you know, even suicide. So like neither gender are like making light of acne.
Sure.
But it's interesting to see how far, I think to your point, like it's, you can take it. I'm a huge fan of the body positivity movement. And I wonder if this is sort of the same kind of thing. Like, you thought the line was here, the line's there. You know, like, the goalpost is here. But I wonder for, as a beauty editor, someone that has to make visual decisions, someone that, like, my whole job is to have an opinion and articulate thoughts on beauty, it has shaken things up a little bit.
Yeah. To bring it back to Flesh, so I've been trying a lot of the products, and a lot of the names have that same kind of pushes your buttons kind of thing. Yeah. And I think fashion and beauty is going there. And are we pushing buttons just for the sake of it or because we have something to say?
But that's big question.
That's a big question. But one of the shade names is Jiggly. I kind of love it.
I love that. Like, I love that.
That's a fun one.
Was like, that the gloss? Like the eye gloss?
It can be used.
It's eye lip gloss, right?
That's the Flesh Pot. That one's actually kind of gross.
Oh, yeah. Flesh Pot. Well, it's so funny. Linda spoke to that in the article. You guys should read it. We'll link
to
it.
Do not Google Flesh Pot. That's what we'll say.
Yeah, I think she Googled or something at work or it was like
oh, no, the lawyer
site.
Did.
Oh, okay. Right.
And then I went ahead and Googled it just because I wanted to see.
At Hearst?
Same thing happens when you Google Brazilian facial. Just don't do it, people.
Ooh, yikes.
But yeah, I want to see where this conversation's going. And I want to know what you guys think. Like, do you think it's just ugly for the sake of ugly to push buttons? Or are we just being a little bit closed-minded and we just still want things to be pretty? I don't know. I'm willing to get schooled. DM us. So FIT, the Fashion Institute of Technology, they have this master's program in cosmetics and fragrance marketing. And I've known women throughout the years in our business that have gotten this degree. So this year I got to go to like sort of the thesis presentations for this graduate program.
Cool.
Really good information. They were talking about transparency. The takeaway that I have to share with everybody is this Korean app called Huawei. Have you ever heard of it?
No. I thought that was a greeting.
Does it mean what? I don't know.
It just sounds like a greeting, like Huawei.
Huawei. I should have translated it to find out what it means. But basically,
like aloha.
Aloha. Huawei. So if you go to Seoul and go shopping in any beauty retailer, a lot of times they'll just pull out their phones and look up a product on Huawei. It is the best ingredient reading app I have ever seen. I only saw a translated version of it online. I went and dug into it. Basically, the people in the graduate program were saying, we need this kind of thing in English. It would be a great app that everybody could use to read labels, to understand what's in products. And it is so easy to use. And I'm just like putting it out there, some amazing tech person, go make Huawei, please, for the English language consumer. But my question is, I wonder if the reason it hasn't come about is because the beauty brands are like, don't want us to have this power in our fingertips.
So you're going full conspiracy theory here.
A little bit. Like, I looked into the funding for Huawei and its independence, not like owned by a big beauty brand. It's its own thing and users can, it's free too. But I like that it gives power to the people. And I know the Korean beauty market, they're obsessed with ingredients and they know a lot more than sometimes American consumers. Mm-hmm. But I'm saying, what if we had our own Huawei?
I think it could also cause a little bit of mania, like a little bit of like, oh, like, you know, we've talked about this before, but like, you know, I don't like mineral oil, but like mineral, like I'm saying, I'm putting someone else's words in my mouth. Like so-and-so says, I don't like mineral oil.
Yeah.
But like, there may not be like a real reason other than.
Right. But it gives the power to you to like weed out what you don't want, even if you have your own reasons for it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's sort of, you know how a lot of them are in Latin and or like these crazy chemical names that you have no idea what it is. Whereas like glycerin looks scary, but it's like often vegetable based and just like a nourishing ingredient, you know, but you see glycerin, you're like, it's like a glycide. It must be chemicals. It helps you know what is chemical, what is not.
I think if this is created for the US consumer, I'm just crossing my fingers for the person who is, or for the team that is going to create the information that like that goes, that gets spat out back. You know
should
what I mean?
I feel like they should call Jeff Janeski, your husband.
Shout out Jeff. I've got a new biz proposition for you.
You're right. Yeah. It needs to be done carefully.
Like in a measured way.
And no misinformation. Yeah. So, I still
and they can't have an agenda. I think that's what my point is.
I know. I looked into it too. I was like, I feel like maybe, you know, one of these Korean beauty brands owns it and they're only putting their products in there. No, like it needs to be independently owned. So I would really like some millionaire out there to go ahead and develop that for us.
Millionaire, billionaire.
Yeah, well, okay. How much could it talk?
I don't know. Maybe we could do it after the show.
We really need to work on our biz dev.
Beta moment. Beta mode.
So Huawei, if you guys want to Google it and look into it, Huawei.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
We are here with Barbara Close, the Naturopathica founder, but also, get this, a product formulator, a master herbalist, many questions about that, and an esthetician. Barbara, welcome. I've been trying to get you onto the podcast for a long time. I'm so happy you're here.
Hi, ladies. Huh? Happy to be here.
Welcome to Fat Mascara.
Welcome. It's also really nice in time for summer.
I thought the same thing. I saw you an herbalist, and I was like, oh, it's garden season. This is perfect.
Let's get outdoors, and we've earned it with this winter in New York.
So, okay, I keep on saying master herbalist. What does that actually mean? I'm like really impressed by it, but I actually don't know what that means.
It means I love dirt and plants and have my whole life. It's really basic.
Does one get certified? Is there like a governing body of herbalists?
Well, I have a master's degree in therapeutic herbalism, but that was sort of the cherry on the cake.
Okay.
Because I really did grow up with a master gardener. My mother was always gardening, and I grew up in Virginia and running around the field, so I always had a love of plants.
Mm-hmm.
But early on, when I got into the wellness industry, I pretty soon discovered that I wanted to learn more about herbal medicine. So I started apprenticing with different people in the mecca of all things New Age out in Santa Fe. So I studied herbal medicine and massage therapy and aromatherapy, and then apprenticed with people out there, and then started, you know, my own practice in 1992, which eventually turned into our first Healing Arts Center, Naturopathica, in 95 out in East Hampton. So that's
when I've been there, it's fabulous.
Thank you. And you've been to our Chelsea spa too.
Yes,
which is,
I'm sort of addicted.
Nice. Yeah. I feel left out.
Come on down.
When you said you opened your first practice, was that like as an esthetician, or were you like, I have a cough and I need some like slippery elm or whatever?
Right. At that time, it was a massage therapist and aromatherapist.
I see. Okay.
So I started with that, and I grew up with this. I was very fortunate. I had an eccentric aunt who lived in France that I would go visit.
We all need an eccentric aunt in France.
This is the start of it. It all starts with
the start. Yes,
I love that.
And she didn't take any allopathic medicine. She was a student of homeopathy. She loved going to spas and taking the waters, right, doing the mud treatments, all the things. We go down there and do all those things. But she also loved going to her corner herboristerie, and they would, you know, welcome her and custom blend her a calendula cream if she had dry skin, or a valerian tea if she had trouble sleeping. And that whole nurturing yourself with herbal remedies, aromatherapy, well-being rituals of hydrotherapy, massage was really the inspiration for our first spa that
you said you called it an herboristery. Herboristery.
In French?
An herb shop.
Herb shop. Was there
a classy herb shop? Yeah.
Is there an equivalent in the U.S. for that sort of thing?
There's not, and there should be. You know, sadly, with the rise of the sulfur drugs and penicillin in the 20s, we lost that whole lineage of natural healing. I mean, it used to be the kitchen was the apothecary, and we would forage for our herbs and make our own medicines. And we've really lost that. And in Europe, you know, in Italy and France and Germany, there's still very much a live tradition of herbal medicine. And I think that's something that we're starting to see come back with the self-care movement that we're seeing now.
We'll get to that. We'll just use air quotes, which I loved.
So let's talk about herbs, at least when it comes to beauty, because you mentioned a calendula cream, for example.
Right.
A lot of brands, which you've probably noticed in the last decade, I would say, are starting to shout from the rooftops that they use botanical ingredients.
Right.
And we
that's
never know
good.
How, you know, you think that's a good thing?
Botanical ingredients? Yes.
In any shape or form, like, are some people doing it right and some people doing it wrong?
I think people have good intentions. I mean, I think people are using, you know, quality material and trying to achieve results that they're saying they're doing. I think when I first started out in the 90s, there was a lot of greenwashing. So, you know, Clara Herbal Essence, you know, I don't think there was anything natural in that bottle.
Yeah.
But I think it's really changed. I think people now are putting in good quality botanical material.
Cool.
Yeah.
Is there a way that someone can tell what a good quality botanical material is, or like that if they're getting the right one?
That's becoming a very loaded question very quickly. I mean, getting good ingredients, either botanical or synthetic, it's hard to know what you're getting. So one of the things we always use with our products is we have INCI labels, which stands for International Nomenclature of Ingredients. But basically, it's a labeling system that the EU and Japan, United States, adopted to create a universally labeling system. So if it says everything's listed in Latin binomial names, and what is listed on the label, you can Google on the internet and actually find it. And I think that's really helped create transparency. So you look for certified brands, either an EcoCert, which is what we embrace, which is a natural and organic certification body, or, you know, there's FailSafe, I think it's called, or something like that. There's lots of new certification bodies, BDIH in Germany. But those are really, you know, certification is the best thing to look for in terms of knowing what you're getting.
Cool.
Because they audit the products and they look at it.
So can you give me some like compelling cases of plants that are that change the skin or more? Like did you ever have like a, I don't know, use a product or a plant on something and you were just kind of wowed by the results?
Yeah. I mean, at Naturopathica, what we do is we look at beauty through the lens of health. So we really are not just looking at topicals. We're also looking at how diet and gut health or blood sugar, herbal remedies, all of that are affecting your health, right? It's not just a topical approach. Mm-hmm. So when we're talking about herbs, we're looking at both topicals and ingestibles. So starting with ingestibles, you know, some of the best herbs out there are things like argan grapefruit. It's called Mahonia. And it's a very strong...
I've never heard of Mahonia. No. I was like, if she's about to tell me coconut, we're going to have problems.
No more coconut, no more turmeric. Mahonia is a great, strong, strong antibacterial herb. It's really good for gut health, and it's really good for acneic skin or for really good clinicals, actually, for psoriasis. So that would be an herb, is an ingestible with someone with, you know, aggravated skin conditions, I might recommend.
Does it come in a capsule form?
Well, we do all of our herbal remedies in liquid herbal tinctures because any herbalist will tell you that a liquid form is better than a capsule form where you're dealing with freeze-dried herbs. So as soon as an herb is macerated and exposed to oxygen and light, you lose some of the lyse force. So with a liquid herbal extract, you're maintaining some of the quality of the ingredients, and also they assimilate through into the bloodstream more quickly than capsule.
Do they have to be like refrigerated then?
No, no? They have a 3 to 5 year shelf life. It's a liquid herbal extract, and you just add them to juice. We add them to teas at our spas, or you can just take them directly under the tongue.
You have a lot of tinctures at your spa.
We do, yeah. So the argan grapefruit is in our Burdock Radiant Skin tincture. That's a hero herb for that. Some other skin herbs that I love. I'll go to topical now. One of my favorites we already talked about is calendula. And calendula is a traditional wound healing herb. It has been in European pharmacopoeias for hundreds of years because it's so powerful. It actually knits the skin closed. So it's good for any dry or aggravated skin condition. They actually recently did trials in France comparing calendula extract with a allopathic remedy that we're using for people that were going through chemo and radiation and showed that it really reduced redness and irritation much more quickly with the calendula extract.
And when you say allopathic, that's just the opposite of homeopathic? That's just like traditional Western medicine?
Yeah, well, that's sort of an oxymoron, traditional and Western
good
medicine.
Good point, good point. But yes, that's like what Western you know
medicine,
of as your...
prescription medicine, yeah.
Got I love it. That.
Calendula, I have definitely heard of before, too, and I really like it. But what about... like if you have serious wrinkle issues and things like that, are there things that herbs can't do? I don't know why I just went to wrinkles, but like I was just thinking in my head, like, come on, it doesn't compete with retinol. But like, will you be honest with people like, okay, this is how far you can go with a topical botanical ingredient or herb?
So my,
what can't you do, Barbara?
My background is as an herbalist and an esthetician.
Okay.
So, you know, I began my healing arts center working, you know, with clients and seeing the skin, different skin conditions. And I started out with using the purest botanicals and using my expertise as an herbalist. In 2008, we got certified through EcoCert because I really wanted to talk about purity. Mm-hmm. But, you know, here's the deal. You know, working with botanicals is great when you're in your 20s and your 30s. And I, for myself and working with the clients that I was working on, I think you need more gunpowder. And I don't think all synthetics are bad. Hmm. So I think it's a more nuanced conversation. I think that botanicals have incredible powers as antioxidants, as anti-inflammatory. I mean, there's, you know, as phenols, as antibacterial. There are a lot of different things we can do. But I also think that not all synthetics are bad. So what we use when we talk about our products are both proven botanicals and clean cosmeceuticals. So we use retinols, we use peptides, we use plant stem cells, but we make sure they're in clean base materials. And I think that's the difference. You know, a lot of when you look at the synthetic ingredients, a lot of them came out and used petrochemical ingredients, and they don't have clean base materials. So, you know, what you're doing is creating a low-grade inflammation in the skin, and your body's focusing on putting on the out the fire. It's not making collagen, elastin, and all things that would be good for the skin. So it's using skin-friendly ingredients.
Do you think this conversation, because I hear, you know, lots of, like, clean clinical, clean this, like so many different, and you know, 98% botanically derived. Like there's so many different terms, do you feel like this conversation, like what you just said was brilliant, like, and it makes it very understandable that it's a nuanced conversation. Do you feel like the cosmetics industry is having that conversation? Like, I want everyone to listen to what you just said, because I hear just a lot of kind of alarmist,
I think one of the challenges the beauty industry has is that we're dealing sometimes with complex concepts, and it's hard to put them in layman's terms, right? As a beauty editor or as, you know, someone that's a product developer for the consumer. So what we want to do is make things either black and white. You know, it's got to be clean. When I started out in the 90s, it had to be natural, and we all chased our tails trying to define what natural is. You couldn't win that argument. And you know what? I think you're going to have the same one with clean. How do you define what clean is? I think even Sephora is struggling to define that. So I think the next trend for me, if I have to look at the future of skincare, is holistic. You know, and it's really looking at topically using skin-friendly ingredients that work in harmony with the skin, and that's the best of botanicals and the best of synthetics. And it's also looking at how nutritional medicine and how herbal remedies and how blood sugar and gut health, all these things give rise to healthy skin.
So the last time I was at your spa,
because
we know that's my like sacred place, that's my hangout. It's
Doesn't have to be so secret.
No, it's so good. Guys, if you live in New York, please pop in. It's in Chelsea. I think I've spoken about it on the podcast. Anyway, I was surprised because someone gave me this big skin assessment and they didn't use the word skin type, the term skin type. They said skin personalities. What is that?
That's our alternative to skin type. So,
and what is Jess's skin personality? Do you remember?
I don't recall. I was so blissed out, but I was like, okay, I know I need to use the cherry enzyme, like scrub or a mask.
Yes, cherry enzyme peel.
Yeah, and my favorite thing about that side note is that if it a little bit gets in your mouth, it's okay because you can eat it.
Are you exfoliating your esophagus at the same time?
It's so good. It's so good. Don't eat it, guys. Don't eat it. But that's actually one of my favorite products.
Yeah,
it's table yummy. That. Yeah. Back to the skin personalities.
So skin personalities are our alternative to skin types, and it's my feeling as an esthetician that every face tells a story. And so you have to look beyond just the topical symptoms. And so at Naturopathica, one of the pillars of our brand is that it's based on naturopathic medicine and the belief that, you know, symptoms are messengers for change. And so we want to get to the root of an imbalance, right? So with
symptoms
skin personalities, we have four personalities.
Oh, tell us, yes.
With an adaptive personality, that's pretty much a normal skin type. It's very resilient. It adapts to changes in humidity, changes in, you know, different products, whatever. It's pretty resilient, right? Hormone reactive skin is going to be your more oily, acne prone skin. It can be due to fluctuation of hormones in adolescence, or it could be going through menopause and changing to estrogen, and that's going to bring up a host of issues. Skin reactive skin personality is one that tends to be more sensitive, prone to redness, irritation, rosacea. That can be due to stress levels and fluctuating levels of cortisol, which spike blood sugar, which is inflammatory to the body. It can be due to changes in sleep, all different sorts of factors that give rise to stress imbalances. And the last category, which is always the catch-all, is mature skin, because like big old rusty cars, we're all getting older, and we are going to develop fine lines and wrinkles. But how do we slow down that progression, right? And what are the best practices for that? So with all these personalities, what we did when you came into the spa is we looked at, all right, what are those topical issues you want to address? And then I call it my confessional. All right, how much coffee are you really drinking?
What kind of foods are you really eating?
How many Twizzlers did you eat on the airplane? Like, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we
you
really
used to
then,
have an inflammatory habit.
Oh, yeah? Did we do an intervention?
No, we're fine. We're good. Keep going.
So then we do the facial then tailoring it to your unique needs. So we're going to talk about what are the beauty foods that are good for adaptive skin. We're going to talk about what are the herbal remedies that support some of the symptoms that you might be experiencing. We're going to look at, you know, all the gut health. And
It's like a key to remind people. It's not just like Band-Aid. Here's your problem. Yeah. Fix it. We have to think about the underlying roots.
Yes.
I just spilled my non-inflammatory beverage, everybody. It's a flavored seltzer with no artificial sweeteners.
It's true.
Is that okay?
I'm looking at that. You look great.
I have, like, guilt with Barbara in the room. Like,
no guilt.
Is this okay?
No guilt.
No, I feel like Barbara's chill.
Yeah,
Barbara's cool.
I like that. It's like, it's not like, you're not scared of this greenness.
No.
But you did mention foods, too. So, like, here's my facial. It's giving me a facial, talking about herbals and topicals. We hear all the time, like, for a while there, it was like salmon, berries, and dark chocolate.
Right.
Somebody wrote a book about that, and we all had to eat that for a whole decade.
Yeah.
And then lately, it's like 1 month it's turmeric, and then the next month you all should be having, you know, whatever the other...
Yogurt or something.
Yeah, or kombucha.
Right.
You know, because I have leaky gut syndrome or whatever.
Right.
How much can food really do, though? Like, is it going to make... Can I get rid of, like, a breakout just because I changed my diet?
I think it does a lot.
You
we
do.
Are we eat. I mean, Wendy Bo was on here recently, and she was she was saying
speaking
the same
of leaky
thing.
Guts.
Yeah, you know, it's really a huge part of who we are, and it's, you know, part of epigenetics that, you know, there are external factors that can change how we deal with our stress. Food is one of them. Meditation is another seriously powerful practice that really
meditate?
Can adjust. I do meditate because I think the heart of good health is being present and being mindful of what's going on. And if you're not aware, like, how do I feel after I eat certain foods? Do I feel tired? Do I have a headache? Do I feel energized? Your body will tell you the type of foods that you respond to and are actually good
I
for you.
I really like broccoli so much, but I swear to God, every time I eat broccoli now, I, like, have this huge, like, kwashiorkor belly of, like, puffed out air. But broccoli's so good for you.
That was a very delicate way of saying that, by the way.
People, I'm bloated after broccoli. And I'm like, all I need to do is have the biggest fart in the world and I'll feel better.
Oh,
but
God.
You can't. I'm sorry. I bet there's people out there who have this issue. Everybody tells us to eat leafy greens and things like that. I know these are good foods for skin, for beauty, for whatever.
Right.
Can I just get personal here? You always get your problems solved on the podcast.
I know.
I feel like it's time to help Jen.
Legumes, when you make your lentils, add a little baking soda to the water. It's gonna
beans don't bother me. It's the greens.
Oh, no, but wait, go back to that tip. Go back. Hold on.
Add
I love the
baking
legumes.
Soda to the water, and it will help take out some of those compounds that cause you gas.
Okay.
Are these like what are these compounds?
Sulfur.
Because, broccoli has a lot of that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So what do I do with my broccoli that I love? Stop
eating
broccoli.
Take Beano before.
Does that work?
I have not taken Beano. I cannot
can I put
vouch
baking
for
soda
effect.
In my broccoli steaming water? That feels like that might
I don't
not
think
work.
That's going to work.
It's not going to be good.
That's gonna
but
work.
Does that mean my body doesn't like it or and I have to work through it? That's what I'm
it
basically
could, it
asking.
Could, it could be a food sensitivity. Absolutely. Huh. Something wild every day. Plants have been on this earth thousands of years longer than us, and they've done that by adapting, and they're filled with these incredible antioxidants and, you know, different chemical constituents that are so nutritious for our body. And we get so much less phytochemicals in our body now because of the farming practices in this country. Oh. And we plants
so even if I'm eating broccoli, I'm eating like not as healthy broccoli as used to be 200 years ago.
Wow.
Exactly.
I need some wild ass broccoli, and
so
maybe then I won't be bloated.
So okay, you did this thing with, you know, with your hands when we mentioned self-care. You did little air quotes. And you've been talking about taking care of yourself, that you said something like that, like, you know, taking care of your body, listening to your body for a very long time. But what does that actually mean to you? Like, what is self-care to Barbara? And, like, how does it compare to the kind of self-care thing that's happening right now?
Well, my motto is tend and befriend, right? Tend and befriend. Take care. Be present with what your body's telling you. And that's very hard to do in our day and age. Got a headache? Take an aspirin. Got an upset stomach? You know, take a Digel. Can't sleep? Take an Ambien. Mm. And so we're listening to just suppressing our symptoms.
Before we let you go, it's still a beauty podcast, so we have to hear about some of your favorite products.
We should talk about the book.
One of your favorite products could be you have a book coming out in...
That's my favorite product.
It should be. Your book comes out in September?
Yes.
And what is it, and what can we expect from it?
It's called The Naturopathica Effect, and it pretty much braces everything that we've talked about today. So it's finding your skin personality and how diet and herbal remedies and stress and lifestyle best lifestyle practices can really help transform your skin. And the book has lots of different recipes for everything from a bone broth to a burdock kimchi that you can can make to different herbal remedies.
Tinctures?
That you can learn to blend. Tinctures.
Will there
recipes.
Be tinctures?
There are tinctures.
There will be tinctures.
There are essential oils. There's lots of good stuff there. So.
Okay. We'll put a link on our blog to your website, which is where you'll be selling it, right?
Yes.
What kind of tea do you drink like every day?
In the morning, my staple is lemon balm tea, which is a great, wonderful research on lemon balm. It's great for anxiety. It's great for just as a digestive herb, too. So that's one of my favorite teas.
Maybe I need that after my broccoli.
You do need that after your broccoli. And some chamomile you need after your broccoli,
too. Oh, okay.
That would help with some of that tummy rumbling.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay. These are very helpful. Yeah. I'm going to go make some
chamomile
tea.
So great to talk to you, ladies.
Yeah, thanks for sharing.
You're
Thank
welcome.
You. I'll see you at the spa.
I'll see you at the spa.
It's time to raise a wand. Hi, Laura.
I made Jess do that while we were off the air. She's over here doing Steve Urkel impressions.
And chic. They're so chic.
You guys love us. Come on. Okay, it's time to raise a wand. Do you want to go first?
No, you have to go first.
Okay. Da-da-da-da. Ta-da. This is from Flesh. I mean, we were just talking about the line. Might as well talk about my favorite product in it. Why are you making a face?
Because like this line does have some real like bangers.
There's some good products in there. Well done, Linda. So this is Flesh's primer. It's called Fresh Flesh Illuminating Primer. I'm usually not into primers because I feel like, oh, it's another product step to put on. Mm-hmm. Does it really make makeup last longer? I used this before my foundation and it definitely goes on smoother and feels hydrating. But here is my hack. Okay. My hack of the flesh. You really like that saying. I've been using it throughout the day to sort of like mush around my foundation. I just got Western. I don't know why. And like add back a glow and hydration. It works really well on top of Ooh. Makeup, people. It's like not strobey. The illumination is really, really subtle. Did almost like Prescriptive's magic back in the day. Remember when they had those like cooling kind of like not glittery lotions and you didn't really know what they did, but they were kind of magic? Flesh Illuminating Primer is absolutely that. You could use it on the high planes of your face, almost like a highlighter. Use it like a moisturizer. And everybody at work is like, it's really good. It has a nice scent that's like barely there.
So question for you.
Yeah.
Do you, when you refresh your makeup with it, are you pressing it into the skin?
I see you pressing, rubbing? But I'm a rubber.
Aren't you rubbing all your makeup all around?
I mean, all that's on there really is sunscreen and tinted moisturizer. So I'm sort of just blending it all back together and hoping for the best.
Okay.
So no, I'm not pressing. But you guys should give it a try. It works great as a primer too, but I really like it as sort of like a skin refresher throughout the day.
Okay, nice hack. This was not planned, but I am also quite into a few of the Flesh products.
Are you raising a wand to the same thing?
Not to your primer, because I haven't gotten to that yet.
What do you try?
But Flesh has, they have like two different lipsticks, but one of them is called the Fleshy Lips Lipstick. I don't get, the name feels so weird to me. Fleshy Lips. It's like a little bit like Wes Craven, like, you know, horror movie. But I'm going to, you know, work with it. There's a few different colors and they're all fantastic. And the reason why they're called Fleshy Lips is because they're all really neutral. It's like the best version of your lips. Very like, very easy. Like it looks like you're just kind of like, looks like your lips like, but better. I know
Is
Bobby.
Is it satin matte? What's the finish?
It's kind of like just dewy. It's like translucent. I think that's part of it. Like it doesn't look like you've put on like a cream lipstick. And we all know I live and die for my Charlotte cream lipsticks.
And your L'Oreal Paris Color Riche.
Yeah, those are cream lipsticks where it looks like, babe, I made an effort. This really looks like, oh, I just have pretty lips. You know,
just
fleshy lips.
So what's your shade?
I tried Chew, which is described as a sheer raspberry pink. I guess it's a little raspberry. It kind of read a little bit more brownish red on me. But there are four shades. There's one that I'm dying to try called Lick. Oh my God. Like, I mean, it's very suggestive, this line.
I know we keep talking about the names and how they're like giving us feelings, like the word moist gives us feelings.
Ugh.
But honestly, gets you talking.
I mean, well done, Linda. Well
so the
done.
Lipstick is 18, and then we didn't mention this, and the primer is 32. So yes, it's Ulta, but it's sort of like a mastige kind of thing.
Yeah. It does have a nice heft to it. You do feel like you're getting something a little bit more special.
Check it out.
Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.